he wouldn't be loving if he let Ted Bundy go, because it would just be, I mean, you look around our world right now, like, people are screaming for justice. They are begging for justice. And God, if he let us go without punishing our sin, he would not be holy. He would not be perfect, as God said he is in his word. Dude, I'm in Pennsylvania, bro. What happened?
Dude, okay. Well, I'll tell you the story. So it was on CNN and everything, like big boy news kind of stuff. Apparently, there were these two people who were driving through downtown Savannah. And as they were driving, the driver looked up, and in the corner of her eye, she saw something falling out of the sky. It smashes through the windshield, and the passenger in the passenger seat is just like freaking out, like, ah! I mean, I'd be freaking out too if something fell through the windshield. Apparently, it was a turtle. A turtle fell through the windshield and was just like stuck in the windshield, like just like dead. Like that junk's crazy. How it got there, I have no idea. Maybe a bird dropped it or something, but that is crazy.
Hey, I mean, that turtle, man. It made it on national news, so as far as I'm concerned, it did pretty well, man, you know?
You're right. It's doing better than we are. What's up, guys? Welcome to the Majesty Over Myth podcast. I'm your co-host, Drew, with your host and my main man, Bailey Anderson. How are you doing, Bailey?
Dude, I'm doing pretty swell, man. How about yourself?
I'm doing great. All right, well, let's jump into it. Today's episode is sponsored by, well, no one. Except the word of God. Hey. All right, let's get into it. A couple weeks ago, we covered, does God exist? And Bailey and I went into a few reasons why we think he exists. If you haven't seen that episode, I definitely encourage you guys to go back and check it out. It'll be in the description. Today's episode, we're going to be covering part two from that part one. And today's episode covers, if God exists, why should we care? Why should we listen? We're excited to bring it to you. Bailey and I wholeheartedly agree and believe that God exists. And so today we're being explaining to you guys why we should listen to what God has to say. I'm excited. Bailey's excited. Let's get into it. Woo!
Yeah, man. So as Drew said, that first episode, if you haven't seen it already, or I guess listen to it, I would highly encourage you to go check it out, just because I think if we are going to just kind of analyze things in the Bible and kind of really dig into them, we first have to kind of establish the foundation of Christianity, because if God does not exist, then the Bible is false, and we really shouldn't care. And, you know, if God does exist, and he just says, hey, man, you know, go live life and chill and, you know, all things are good. You know, you have a place up in here in heaven, no matter what you've done, then, I mean, we really shouldn't care. So I think it's pretty important for us to kind of just go through God's word and kind of see what he says about these things before really digging into kind of the bigger things of Christianity. So yeah, I think that this is a really, really big topic, and for time constraint, I've kind of narrowed it down into two reasons why I believe we should care about God's existence. The first is for our salvation. I ended the last episode kind of in Matthew 7, verses 21 through 23, where Jesus basically tells us of people that he is going to reject at the gates of heaven, basically. Mm-hmm. And these people go up to him and say, hey, you know, I've done all these things in your name. Like, I've done all these good things. And the things that they list off are pretty darn, you know, they're good, you know, but yet he says, and I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness. And so we see there that it's a relationship that gets us into heaven. And so for a bit, hopefully pretty quickly, I'm just going to kind of take us on a ride to establish why he says that it is a relationship. And so first, I'd like to start in Genesis 8, 20, verses, well, verse 21, when it says, "The Lord said in his heart, I will never again curse the ground because of man, for the intention of man's heart is evil from his youth. Neither will I ever again strike down every living creature as I have done." So a little bit of context to this. This is right after the flood with Noah, and this is literally right before he makes the covenant with Noah. And so I could go into a lot of different things here, but I really want to highlight where it says, the intention of man's heart is evil from his youth. And so from this, God says that our hearts are evil. And so you might be thinking, yeah, right, man, like I'm a good person. And I thought that way too, until about like 3 years ago. You know, I kind of thought that, you know, if I live a good moral life, if I'm better than most of the people around me, you know, in heaven, and stuff like that. But the reality here, is that our intentions are evil. And so God kind of backs us up, in Isaiah 64:6, where he says, "We have all become like the one who is unclean, and all our righteous deeds are like a polluted garment. We all fade like a leaf, and our iniquities, like the wind, take us away." And so, obviously, there's a lot there as well. But I'd like to highlight where it says, all our righteous deeds are like a polluted garment. A lot of other versions say, like, rubbish or some sort of, like, trash and stuff. But the reality is, even our best works in God's eyes are just garbage, trash. Like they're worthless. You might be thinking like, what? No, like, you know, it kind of like me, 3 years ago, maybe even less than that. Wow. I was kind of thinking, you know, if I live a moral life, if I'm a good person and I live a better life than most of those around me, then, you know, I'd be able to kind of talk my way into heaven. But looking at these verses here, that just isn't the case. And I'd like to kind of use a little bit of logic to back that up. And, you know, I'm kind of a nerd whenever it comes to like, these true crime, like crime shows and like murders and serial killers and stuff. I don't, just call me whatever you want, but I think that it's kind of fascinating and stuff. But Ted Bundy, one of the most notorious serial killers in the history of the United States, or, you know, the entire world, he, believe it or not, actually worked for a suicide prevention hotline. I don't know how long, but he worked for them. And so the reason that I bring this up is, whenever he was in trial, for all the horrendous, horrific things that he's, you know, did, he didn't go to the judge and look at him and say, "Judge, you know, I've heard that you are a loving person. And, you know, yes, I killed these, whatever number of girls, and done horrible things to them. But if you look at my past, Judge, you know, I've helped people. I worked for a suicide prevention hotline, and you know, I talk people out of, you know, killing themselves, or I've helped them through some pretty tough things. And so please take that into consideration and let me go for these crimes that I've committed because of my good works in the past. Hmm. He didn't do that because it's so illogical. Like, the judge would have laughed at him, and his lawyers probably would have been like, this guy's insane. Like, we got to plead insanity, like, right now. Like, that just didn't happen. And let me tell you this. If the judge would have let him go because of his previous good works, and claim that he is a loving judge, which a lot of people claim, you know, if God is a loving God, how can he send people to hell? And stuff like that, because we do see that God is love in 1 John, but he wouldn't be loving if he let Ted Bundy go, because it would just be, I mean, you look around our world right now, like, people are screaming for justice. They are begging for justice. And God, if he let us go without punishing our sin, he would not be holy. He would not be perfect as God said he is in his word. And so I could kind of go on that more and stuff, but I hope that you kind of understand where I'm coming from. And you might be thinking, wow, you know, okay, well, if our good works can't get us into heaven, then what can? And I think that there's a few verses that I have seen that kind of help explain this. And the first one is Romans 6:23. It says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." Now, I can spend a ton of time kind of laying this out and stuff, but we see that we have earned for ourselves death. And this is a spiritual death. Like, whenever Adam and Eve ate of the fruit, they were kicked out of God's presence. And, you know, before they ate it, God said, like, if you eat of this tree, you'll surely die. They didn't physically die, but they died spiritually. They were separated from God. And so we are separated from God because of our sin. But God, being the loving God that he is, he has given us a gift. And it is free to us, as every gift is. And that gift is eternal life. It is reconciliation to him through Christ, through his son, Jesus, who has died on the cross for our sins. And so I think that another verse that kind of goes pretty well with that is... Galatians 3:11, it says, "Now it is evident that no one is justified before God by the law, for the righteous shall live by faith." And so, again, it says that nobody is justified before God by the law. And, you know, if we examine our life before the Ten Commandments, I'm sure that most of you guys know them and stuff like that, or at least have heard of them. If you've examined your life according to those, you will very, very, very quickly find out that you have broken most, if not all of them. I know that I myself have, I think, broken all of them, and except for the murder one, of course. yeah, I have to clarify that. We see that we are screwed by the law. If we were judged by the law, then we have no hope. And so the righteous shall live by faith, faith in the Savior, Jesus, who has been sent down to bear our wrath that has been meant for us on the cross, so that we get his righteousness. Whenever God looks at us, if we repent and believe, then he sees his son, and he sees the perfection of his son upon us. And so we could dig into that more if you want, a little bit later, in the podcast or whatever. But I think that, another good verse, to kind of help out with this is Galatians 2:21. It says, I do not nullify the grace of God, for if righteousness were through the law, then Christ died for no purpose. And so I think that a lot of people, and it, this is some fire right here. Let me just tell you, because it shows that God sent his son for a reason. Like if Christ, if we could, I guess, gain our righteousness or be justified through our works, and get into heaven through our good works, then there's no point in Jesus being sent down to the earth. And, you know, thinking about it kind of in an earthly sense, like a father would not send his only son to die for no reason. Like if he went into battle for a good cause or something like that and died, then there is a reason for it. He's sacrificing himself for the country or whatever the case may be. But if he's just going out there and being slaughtered for no reason, then there's no point in it. And that may be a bad example and stuff, but I think that this verse is very clear in the sense that, like, okay, well, you know, it doesn't really make sense. Like if we are justified through our works, then God really isn't that good. God is not that loving. God is not that graceful, because, you know, God is a jealous God, and it only makes sense. Like, if you think about it, like if we were to gain our righteousness, through our good works, then that would be kind of like saying, yes, I am the one that did this. I am the reason that I am here in heaven. But through faith, through Christ, it is saying, no, you are the reason why I'm here. I will be dead in my sins if not for you. And so I think that is just a beautiful, beautiful picture of why we should care. And kind of to sum it all up, Ephesians 2:8-9. Now, if it already isn't clear that the Bible says it is by faith alone, through Christ alone, and not because of our works, then this is it. Because it says, for grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. And this kind of goes back to what I was saying. It's like, you know, if we are good in God's eyes, and he lets us into heaven based upon just our good works, then, you know, we'd be boastful. We'd be saying, God, I really don't need you. I did this myself. And that alone just brings a lot of pride and arrogance. And God being a jealous God, he'd be like, dude, what the heck, man? Like, what? I created you. Like, what? Like, that doesn't make sense. And so I hope that through this, I know it was kind of a lot of just, I guess, highlighting that same point over and over again, but I really hope that you guys are able to see that we should care, because the default is not heaven after we die. The default is hell. And that is something that I didn't know until 3 years ago. And, you know, I thought that people, once they die, they go into heaven. But if you, you know, if you're like Hitler or something, or Ted Bundy, then you go to hell. And, you know, the default after death is not heaven. We need somebody, kind of going back to a court setting. We need, we are guilty of a crime, and we need somebody to bail us out. And Jesus is the only one that can bail us out. And he does that not with money, but by the sacrifice that he made on the cross with his own blood. And so, yeah. So that is my first point that I wanted to make, is we should care, because our salvation and eternity kind of depends on that. And second, I think that satisfaction. I kind of made it two S's so that it's easy to remember, I guess. But salvation and satisfaction is why we should care. And so you might kind of be scratching your head as to why I say satisfaction. And before, you know, the Lord opened up my eyes to, you know, the truth, I would have been doing the same thing. I'm like, what? You know, I'm perfectly satisfied right here, you know. But I kind of like to dig into that a little bit. Ecclesiastes 1, verse 14, it says, I have seen everything that is done under the sun, and behold, it is all is vanity and striving after the wind. And just in Ecclesiastes in general, like, it really just shows you how, like, our lives are so quick. And the things of this world are worthless and pointless to pursue. And I kind of looked up the word vanity, and it means the quality of being worthless or futile. So striving after the things of this world, it's just like chasing after the wind. You're going to grab at it and stuff, but you're never going to get anything. And so, you know, I've kind of been seeing this a lot recently with work and stuff. It's my first full-time job and all that. And, you know, I'm getting paid well, but I'm doing a job that I really just don't care for. Like, I have no passion for sitting there cleaning up a workhouse or a warehouse all day, sitting through, you know, sitting down all day, going through old papers that are 20, 30 years older than me. It's just, it's boring. And I could see why people live for the weekend, because they just dread their job. And it is just so difficult just to get through things. And it's just like, man, now I know why people are so miserable all the time, is because they have no satisfaction in their job. You know, they don't have any satisfaction in anything. And, you know, they're pursuing all of this money, like all of this stuff, whether that's money or well, you know, just the approval of others, whatever it may be. It doesn't matter if you're rich or if you're poor, if you're powerful or weak, we all end up in the grave. And so I've seen a lot of that just being miserable. Mm-hmm. And so we can't find satisfaction in this world. And so I think that Psalm 16:11, it kind of points to Christ as being our satisfaction. It says, you make known to me the path of life. In your presence, there is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. And that just sounds so good. Like, it sounds like, wow, I just want to be there and soak up all of that. Like, I just want to experience that, you know? And I think the biggest thing that, at least as far as I know in the Bible, it says, as far as satisfaction goes, in John 6:35, Jesus says, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst." And so what he's saying there is, like, if you picture bread, you know, it, whenever you eat it, it doesn't feel like you're eating all that much, but if you drink water, it expands in your stomach. Like, it gets bigger, and it gets heavier and stuff. It just soaks up the water. But, you know, instead of eating the crumbs that are given to us by this world, instead of constantly being hungry, you know, just looking for our next crumb, Jesus says, "Come to me and I will fulfill you. Like, I will satisfy your hunger." You know, I kind of think of this as like just going to a buffet. It's like, come to me and you can eat all you want. Like, you will never be hungry again. And I just think that's beautiful, because so very often, like, we look for pleasure in you know, things around us, in relationships or money or just whatever it may be. And ultimately, people let us down. You know, we get sick of playing the same video game over and over and over again. Like, it just feels like there's something missing. And Jesus is like, come to me and I will fill that void in you. I will satisfy you. And so those are kind of the two reasons why I think that we should care about God's existence, according to God's word and according to logic as well. And so I really tried to kind of unpack this all in a short amount of time and stuff, but I kind of hope that you get the gist of it. And seeing that without Christ, we have no satisfaction or salvation. And so, yeah, I think, Drew, don't you have something about some people maybe questioning some stuff or whatever?
Man, Bailey, thank you for sharing what you had to share. I'm so glad that you brought up what you said about good works. And the reason I'm glad you brought it up is because I'm reminded of a story. So last fall in 2019, God graciously gave me the opportunity to travel to North Africa, which is an Islamic culture, if you guys didn't know that. For time's sake, I'll keep it short. I could go on and on and on about my time in North Africa. It was life-changing, once-in-a-lifetime experience, and I absolutely loved it. God opened my eyes to see more of Him and just what He commands me to do in ways that I never saw coming. So anyway, so for security reasons, I'll rename some people. My teammate's name will be Holmes, and my local friend's name will be Mo. So Holmes and I had not been there that long. We had been there for maybe a month or so. And we met this young guy by the name of Mo, who is an awesome dude, loves to study, probably the smartest guy I've ever met, and loved to play soccer, wanted to be a police officer, all that great stuff. So he's a Muslim, obviously, and then Holmes and I are Christian, and so there are some very big differences in doctrine between Islam and Christianity, and so obviously we disagreed on these things, but Holmes and I absolutely love Mo. I mean, we just were so encouraged by his friendship. And I remember when we first met him, he invited us to a coffee shop, one of the best ones in town is what he was saying. And when we got there, we sat down, pulled the chairs out like they do, like all the men do in North Africa, where they just kind of sit out and stare at the people walking down the street, which is kind of weird. Anyways, so we're sitting there drinking mint tea, which, by the way, mint tea is great. Try it. If you don't like it, I'm sorry. So I'm watching all these people walk down the sidewalk, and as they're walking, I realized they're all just going about their days.
I mean, maybe they're going to the market. Maybe they're going home to see their family. Maybe they're going back to work. Whatever it might be. They're just walking down the street, minding their own business. And I would argue that maybe none of them know what Christ has done for them on the cross. And that just broke my heart. And it made me realize how many of us are not living for what God has to say to us. And so I looked over at Mo and I said, Mo, dude, like, what's crazy to me is both old and young people, it doesn't matter who, so many of us just don't care. We're just kind of here just to be here, just living our own lives the way that we want to live for whatever reason. And if there's a God, then so be it. I don't really care what he has to say. And it's like, why? And the reason I say that, and I said this to Mo, I said, Mo, if God exists, which I believe he does, then what he has to say are the most important words in the universe. There are no more important words than what God has to say to humanity. Why are we not listening? And so I gave Mo an example of a Francis Chan sermon, which if you guys don't know Francis Chan, check him out on YouTube. He's a solid pastor. Anyway, so he gives this example of, like, let's say you take a 50-foot rope, a white rope, just pure white or whatever. And at the end of one end of the rope, you attach a little piece of red tape around it, like bright red. So it just kind of stands out. So you take that piece of red tape, and how he describes it is this. That piece of red tape on that rope is your life. It's here 1 second, and it's gone the next. And so many people in our world today are living for that little tiny piece of red rope, their life, to try to get all the money they can, to try to, you know, get all the satisfaction they can, to try to, you know, make other people proud, to try to gain other people's applause and favor. And so many of them are living for that piece of tape. But what about the white part? Because there is a whole 50-foot long plus eternity white rope that is our lives, that is our souls, that will live on in eternity. Why are people living for that red part? Why are people not living for what's to come? Because our lives are just a vapor in the wind. And that just, I don't know. That just broke my heart to think about that. Sitting down with Mo that day. I'm reminded of the passage in Romans. Romans chapter 9, verses 21 through 33. Definitely, I want you guys to go check this out. This is an amazing passage. It's about being God's clay. So God is our potter, and he has made us. And I'm going to sum this up. Who are we to question the potter, why have you made me like this? Like, what? You wouldn't want something you've made to go up to you and be like, you know what? Like, I get to say what I want because I'm the one here, and you didn't have anything to do with me. Actually, you made it. You have everything to do with it. And it's the same with God. God is our maker, our creator. Who are we to question what he has created? You know, maybe one lump of clay for honorable use and another lump of clay for dishonorable use, but it's all for his glory. We are made for his glory. Both the good and the bad all points to the glory of God. And that passage just astonishes me and blows me away every time I think about it.
I think, you know, going directly from that, I definitely don't want to leave out the topic of what's going on in our culture right now, which I think also ties to what, Bailey, what you were saying, and then as well into this conversation. Can't ignore what has just happened with the protest about the George Floyd killing. And the Ahmaud Arbery killing and the Breonna Taylor killing or arrest. I can't quite remember. Mm-hmm. I think that's her name.
Killing.
Yeah, thank you. And I definitely, you know, it'd be cool to go do another, it'd be cool to do another podcast about that topic another time. But what I really want to hit from that is that when we place our hope in imperfect things, like an imperfect government or an imperfect police system or anything of a culture, inevitably it's going to let us down. These people are going to let us down. And what has happened is just, man, it breaks my heart, because you just see like so many people desire for justice to be done. But I would argue that they are looking for justice in an imperfect justice system. That's like trying to, I don't know. That's like, I don't know, sitting down for, well, I don't know. I guess I can't think of a good example. But my point is by looking for justice in an imperfect justice system, I mean, it's just foolish. It's silly. And what has happened is nothing short of just evil and horrific. And we cry out to God for justice to be done, whether it be in this life or the next. And so when we place our hope in things of an imperfect world, inevitably that imperfect world is going to let us down. But God is perfect and he will never let us down. And we can cling to him knowing that he is good, knowing that he is sovereign, knowing that he is the one who has created you and I, Bailey. And we can cling to him knowing that he cares about us and that he desires to know us. And we can trust that his plan is sovereign and good, even in the face of evil. And so you might ask, like, all right, well, Drew, okay, so God exists, but why would he want to know me? Like, why would he care that I'm here? Right. And that's it's a good question. The question of meaning, a question that, you know, more and more young people today are asking, a question that we all ask them some point in our life of why we're here. What's the purpose? We got to go back to the beginning. obviously we weren't there, so we don't know everything that happened to a T, but God's word graciously lays out to us that God didn't need to create us. He didn't need to create Adam and Eve. Yet he did for his glory. So he created Adam and Eve in God's image. And you ask, like, okay, what does it mean to be made in God's image? And what I've got here from a very big book called Systematic Theology, basically what it means to be made in God's image is to be a representation of God. It's almost like God is saying to us, let us make man to be like us and to represent us. So we are made. Our meaning, our purpose is to live a life for what God commands us to do, because he loves us, because he cares for us, because he is wrathful, because he is going, he's the judge over all through Christ Jesus. Like this, just the image of that blows me away every single time I think about it. And I think it should blow us all away. And if it's not blowing us away, then we're looking at something wrong, or we need to go and ask questions to, I don't know, maybe elders of our lives or whoever it might be, ask these deep, you know, theological questions. But just like on a different kind of note, like, because we're made in the image of God to represent God is what that means, then I am made to glorify him. And if I'm not glorifying God, then what am I doing? Well, I'm not glorifying God. And that's called being a fool. And a fool in Proverbs is anyone who is not glorifying God. And so what God has to say is the single most important thing. Why would you not want to listen to it? I mean, it doesn't make any sense to me. And I know there's, you know, multiple reasons for that kind of question. But like, the point here is God does care about us. And I have some wonderful, just mind-blowing, mind-boggling, astonishing verses here for you guys. The first one is a passage in, well, like I said, we started in Genesis, where we were made in the image of God to glorify God, to represent God here on this earth. So we should be listening to what God has to say. And then further, Psalm 139. I think a lot of people know Psalm 139. Psalm 139 is a wonderful passage. I had the opportunity. I remember reading it in the Sahara Desert once last year and just thinking to myself, like, wow, God is so much greater than anything I could ever fathom. My very breath is a gift from him. And so what I mean by Psalm 139 is God has made us in our mother's womb. He has knitted us in our mother's womb, and he knows our first day to our last day. That is simply incredible. I mean, even before you can speak, even before you can think, even before you can feel, he knows you, and he has knitted you in your mother's womb, and he cares about his creation. He cares about you and wants to know you. Another great verse that I love, or a great passage that I absolutely just hold on to, is the passage in Matthew 6:25 through basically through 34. And I'll sum it up really quickly. Basically, it says, don't be anxious about anything. The birds of the fields are fed by God. How much more will our Father take care of us? So he loves his children. He will take care of his children. He will provide for his children in ways we never thought possible, because he's God, and because he's good, and he's great and mighty, and desires, like I said, to know us. And I'm just going to keep repeating that, because he does. He wants to know you and I. And then, of course, John 3:16. I mean, how can we leave John 3:16 out? I mean, John 3:16 is like a verse that probably everyone listening to this podcast episode has heard before in their life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. What? That's absolutely crazy. Like, I know we hear that all the time. Like, that verse is a verse we probably heard 100 times over and over. But when you really just think about that for 1 second and really just meditate on it and take it in, God loves this, or God loves his creation and wants to know us. But he needed a way, because our works weren't good enough. And so he sent his only son to die on the cross for our sins. And that was the only way possible for us to obtain a relationship with the Father, was through his only son, Christ. And that's amazing. That we can have eternal salvation, that we can come into relationship with God through his son. But let me not neglect the fact that we are sinners, and there's a disconnect between God and us. And there has to be something in the middle for us to cross this bridge to be with God. And that something, according to the word, is Jesus Christ and his death and resurrection, which made a way for us to be with God the Father. In Romans, it says, confess with your tongue that Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, and you will be saved. I mean, that's amazing to me. So to sum this all up, I guess, and then Bailey, I know you have a story. I know we've been kind of going like into a serious sort of time. I definitely want to be honest with you guys. Like, usually we, like last week, a couple weeks ago, we did questions where we asked a couple questions and we took like a minute responding to those questions. Well, I took like a minute, Bailey took like 20 hours, but
amen.
But this time we're going to share Bailey's going to share a lighthearted story with you guys. And I think it's going to be really good. Can't wait for you guys to hear it. I can't wait to hear what he has for us. And I'll finish up with this. I have a quote by Billy Graham, and this is from my good friend, Liv Spittler. Shout out to Liv. You go, girl. You're awesome. Here's the quote that I have. This is from, she shared this with me. It's a quote from Billy Graham. And it is, can you see God? You haven't seen him? I've never seen the wind. I see the effects of the wind, but I've never seen the wind. There's a mystery to it. Wow. Deuteronomy 29:29 tells us that the hidden mysteries of the Lord belong to the Lord. There are some questions, guys, that we, that Bailey and I can't answer, that theologians can't answer, that apologists can't answer, but there are questions that we just will not have the answers to, unless the Lord reveals them to us through his word. But what I can tell you guys is the Lord has given us everything he wants us to have to be in relationship with him. And that is why you're here. You are here to glorify him. Like, hold on to that. Like, just know that. And really take that in. So that's what I would say. I wholeheartedly believe God exists. Bailey believes God exists. We both believe God exists. And if God exists, why should we listen to him? Well, we should listen to him because he has made us. And he loves us and desires to know us more. But we are sinful. And we need something else to get us there, because our works are not good enough. And to not listen what Jesus has to say and who Jesus says he is foolish. And I would encourage you guys to search for all of what Jesus says in the book of John and Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and John. All right. Okay, Bailey, you take it away. I know you have a pretty cool story to share. I can't wait to hear it. And then afterwards, we'll finish up with there. I know we've been going for a little while now. This has been such a good episode. I've definitely learned a lot studying all these things and taking away a lot. I hope you guys have been able to take away a lot. All right, Bailey, you want to finish up for us?
Yeah, man, for sure. So as Drew said, usually we do some questions, but honestly, it was pretty difficult to kind of come up with those. So we just kind of thought, like, all right, well, you know, we'll be hitting some pretty hard stuff. So we'll just, I guess, have a laugh at the end. But it's a pretty, I guess, funny now, but embarrassing story. It was the, I guess, summer before my I forget when, but it was early in high school, whenever I still lived in Indiana. And it was during the fall or something. It was, I think, like right before school started or something like that. And I was training for wrestling and stuff. And one of my really good buddies, he's like, "Hey, man, you know, me and my family, we're going to go do the Spartan race." And so a Spartan race, if you're not really familiar with it, is kind of like a Tough Mudder or something. It's like a really long obstacle course that really, really just sucks. So I was like, yeah, you know, I'll do that, man. That sounds lit. So it was pretty, pretty brutal, man. I was wearing shorts and short sleeves. It was about 20 or 30 something degrees. It was in Ohio. It was just brutal conditions, man. Like, I had to run through mud and water that was, you know, freezing cold. It was hailing during part of it and stuff, and it was so bad. I finished last. Like, my buddy and his dad and his mom went. I finished probably like an hour. It felt like an eternity after. Like, I finished way after them, because I walked like pretty much the whole thing. And so I got to the finish line and they were standing there, and you know, I got a banana for, you know, and got my medal and stuff, and you know, they were just handing me all this stuff, and I got to them and they're like, "Bailey, you're purple, dude. Like, your whole face is purple." And I never noticed it, but like, it was in that moment I was like, I'm shivering and I literally cannot stop. Like, I was like just like uncontrollably shivering. Like, and so there was a medical tent, thank God, like probably about 20 or 25 feet away. So they rushed me over there, practically carry me over there. And I was like, you know, pretty pumped up about, like, you know, finishing it and stuff. And they looked like they were scared. And I was like, yeah, let's go, man. Like, I just finished. And I sat down in there and they took my temperature, like one of the medic people or
Yeah.
whatever. And they're like, oh my Lord, this guy's, his core body temperature is 85
Bro, what?
degrees. And I was like, what? Like, I went from like, let's freaking go. Like, I just finished this thing. Like, I didn't really prepare for it and I didn't know what to expect. And I just got freaking crushed by it. But I just finished and that just faded away. And I was like, dude, I might die.
Dude.
Like, and so I was soaked. My clothes were soaked. So it was so embarrassing. They held up a towel and stuff like that just to, because there were other people in there, and they held up a towel and they made me get out of my clothes and stuff because they were all wet and I would have gotten, more sick and stuff. So I can't remember if I, even put clothes back on, but they gave me a blanket and stuff that was heated and all that. And I had to go to the emergency room. And it was just bad, man. Like, I could not feel my fingers for like months. It was just bad. And looking
Oof,
back,
that's rough.
I recovered from it, and never once did I think, okay, well, if I actually would have died, what would have happened? Like, not once did I think that. And so I just think that was really interesting, and kind of sad, honestly. I like was about to die and I didn't really care afterwards. I was like, all right, well, looks like I'm fine, let's just go home and stuff. But yeah, I mean, I hope that you guys got a laugh out of that, because it sounds pretty scary. But I look back and I'm like, dang, man, that was embarrassing. Like, I was naked in front of like my best
Bro.
friend and his parents and stuff. Like, it was just a bad situation, bro. Like, it was bad, but I think it's just hilarious. So yeah, man. Drew, you
Dude.
got any stories or
Actually, you
nah?
know what? No, I do have a funny story, and then I'll finish this up. Dude, you, bro, I'm done with you. You're dumb. Okay, so, all right. So one time I was at my grandmother's funeral. Man, this is really sad. It was just like 3 years ago. I guess 4 years ago now. This summer, and while we were there, I was with my ex-girlfriend, and when we were in the funeral, we were in the ceremony and all that, and after my, I think it was like my grandfather or someone had gotten up to share, and after that, I was like, I've gotta go outside. I just need to, take a break from this. Said goodbye to my grandmother, which was really hard. She meant a lot to me. She made some just smacking cheese grits, bro. I mean, those jokers were good. Anyway, so I'm like, okay, I've got to go outside. So I'm like, hey, babe, do you want to go outside? I just need a minute, get some fresh air. So we walk outside, and as we're out there, we walk into like this little, foresty area with some pine trees, like really big, tall pine trees and stuff like that. And we're walking through the grass, and I'm probably 5 or so, 6 feet in front of her, and I just kind of stop underneath this tree. I mean, just like stop there. I mean, I wasn't doing anything crazy. Just minding my own business, vibing, And then all of a sudden, a dead headless rabbit falls out of the top of the tree, which, by the way, is like 70 feet tall, falls out of the tree and falls like 2 feet in front of my head. I mean, just like right in front of me. And I'm like, what the heck? So I'm like freaking out, jumping in the air and stuff like that. And I look up and I'm like, what just happened? And there was a bird who had flown off and was like flying away. I mean, it was almost as if the bird knew I was there and was targeting me. I felt like it was weird, man. Anyways, if that rabbit would have hit me, it would have hurt. It probably wouldn't have killed me, but it would have hurt. And it just reminded me, I guess, that scenario, while kind of hilarious, just reminded me that, man, life is so short, and the weirdest and oddest things can happen at any moment that take our lives away, whether that be in our sleep or just whatever it might be. And I don't know, like just reminded of that through that situation, that story, and just like other crazy stories like falling off mountains and weird stuff like that.
So, you know, it seems like it's time to kind of finish up.
Whatever.
So, guys, thank you for listening to this episode. We actually have an Instagram. It's Majesty Over Myth. And if you guys could give us a follow, that would be great. You know, I think you know, Friday or Saturday, we'll put up some polls and ask you guys kind of like what you would like to hear about next, or, you know, kind of questions that you guys would like us to answer at the end, or, you know, kind of stuff like that, just to allow us to kind of gear, I guess, things more towards what you guys would like to, I guess, listen about. So, definitely give us a follow on Instagram. Again, that's just Majesty Over Myth. So, Drew, you have anything to add? Or?
Dude, I think you hit it all. Give us a follow on Instagram, Majesty Over Myth. Make sure you follow and like on Anchor to get notifications on when the next podcast will be out so you can keep up with everything. We are on Spotify as well as Anchor, like I said, and then also I'm trying to figure out a way to get us on Apple Podcasts for you guys who, you know, may not have Spotify or Anchor, but that is no excuse. Still listen, still hit us up, still share with your friends, but yeah, love you guys. You guys are awesome. Thanks for joining in with us today. Bailey, see you, my dude.